بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah who in His infinite mercy has made it possible for us to have this lesson again after a long break. Inshallah, we shall continue with our lesson in this book titled Aqidat al-Tawheed, written by Sheikh Saleh ibn Fawzan bin Abdullah al-Fawzan. It was like yesterday when we started reading this book, and alhamdulillah, inshallah, today we are going to finish the book. We are in the last chapter of the book. We started discussing this last chapter some weeks ago, and the chapter has to do with al-bid'ah, innovation in the religion. We discussed about the meaning of innovation in the religion. We discussed about the types of innovation. We talked about the ruling concerning innovation. Then we talked about the emergence of bid'ah in the life of the Muslim. We talked about the causes of innovation. The chef mentioned about four major causes. There are so many causes, but he mentioned about four major ones. These are ignorance of the religion, people following their vain desires, then people following the opinions of some people, and fourth one he mentioned as the shabbu bil kuffar, imitating the unbelievers. That was how Muslims invented some things in their religion, by imitating the unbelievers. Then we talked about the approach of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in refuting the people of innovation. And then the last section of the chapter has to do with samples of innovation in modern times. At the beginning of this section, he says, going to discuss three major examples of innovation. The first one is celebration of the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi, which we already discussed. And so the second, today we are going to start from the second one, page 194, which has to do with at-tabarruk bil amakin wal athar wal ashkhas ahya'an wa amwatan. This has to do with at-tabarruk bil amakin. Can you see the place? No. 194. At-tabarruk bil amakin, seeking blessing. At-tabarruk, seeking the blessings, seeking blessings from places, wal athar, and from historical relics, wal ashkhas, or seeking blessings from people, ahya'an wa amwatan, whether these people are alive or they are dead. It has been al-bid'ah al-muhdatha, among the invented innovations in the religion, at-tabarruk bil-makhluqin, is for people to seek blessings from creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَهُوَ لَوْنٌ مِنْ أَلْوَانِ الْوَثَنِيَةِ. This is a form of idolatry. وَشَبَكَةٌ يَسْفَادُ بِهَا الْمُرْتَزِكَ. It is also like a net that al-murtazika, people who are out to eat people's money, يَسْفَادُ بِهَا, they use it to hunt people, to hunt amwal as salvage. They use it to hunt the wealth of the naive ones, in and out, among people. That was tabarruk. The meaning of tabarruk is what? Talabul baraka, to seek baraka, to seek blessing from something. And what is baraka itself? It says, وَهِيَا تُبُوتُ الْخَيْرِ to shade. It is the establishment of goodness in something. وَزِيَادَتِهِ and its increase in it. So, وَطَلَبُ تُبُوتُ الْخَيْرِ, seeking establishment of goodness. وَزِيَادَتِهِ and its increase. إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ مِمَّنْ يَمْلُكُ ذَلِكَ. This is supposed to be from one who possesses that. وَيَكْدُرْ عَلِيْهِ and has the ability over it. وَهُوَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only Allah who owns all goodness. In the Quran, Allah says what? بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. Alright? The khayr, goodness, is in your hand. So all goodness is in the hands of Allah. So we should seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنزِلِ الْبَرَكَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one who brings down barakah, وَيُثْبِتُهَا and also establishes. فَأَمَّا الْمَخْلُوقِ as for creatures, as for human beings, or any created thing. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَقْدُرُ عَلَىٰ مَنْحِ الْبَرَكَةِ He said, he has, such creatures have no ability to give barakah. وَإِنْجَادُهَا And they also have no ability to bring barakah into existence. وَلَا عَلَىٰ إِبْقَائِهَا They also have no ability to make barakah to remain. وَتَثْبِيتِهَا Or to make it firm in anything. فَالتَّبَرُكْ بِالْأَمَاكِنِ Therefore, seeking blessings from places, وَالْآثَارِ And historical relics, وَالْأَشْخَاصِ And from people. أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا Whether these people are alive or dead, لَا يَجُوزُ It's not permissible in the Sharia. لِأَنَّهُ Because doing that, إِمَّا شِرْكٌ It is either going to be shirk. إِنْ اَيْتَكَدَ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٍ يَمْنَحُ الْبَرَكَةِ That is, if the person believes that that thing he is seeking blessing for has the ability to give barakah. أَوْ وَسِيلَةٌ إِلَى الشِّرْكِ Or such an act will be a means to shirk. إِنْ اَيْتَكَدَ أَنَّ زِيَادَتِهِ وَمُلَامَسَتِهِ وَتَمَسُّكُ بِهِ سَبَبٌ لِلْحُصُولِ عَلَى اللَّهِ As if the person believes that the increase of it, أَنَّ زِيَادَتِهِ If he believes that the increase of barakah, وَأَنَّ زِيَارَتِهِ If the person believes that he is visiting of such a place, وَمُلَامَسَتِهِ And he is rubbing his body on that thing, وَتَمَسُّكُ بِهِ Or touching it, سَبَبٌ لِلْحُصُولِ عَلَى اللَّهِ It is a means to getting barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is it. Once people go to places to seek barakah from these places, they are either committing shirk if they believe that those things have the ability to give them barakah themselves, or they may be doing something that can lead them to shirk if they believe that that is a means to achieving barakah. And like you said, these people or these places, people who control these places are only using it to make money. I need to give a very clear example of the graveyard of who? Of Hussein. Hussein bin Ali bin Abi Talib, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hussein originally was killed where? He was killed in a town called Karbala, alright, around Iraq site. That's where he was killed, and that is where he was buried. But today, his grave is in several countries, alright? He has a grave there in Karbala, he has a grave in Egypt. I have visited that Abu tomb before. I went there myself and I saw it. You see a tomb constructed in a mosque. They say it's buried of Hussein. He has a grave in Tunisia. He has a grave in Algeria. He has a grave in Indonesia. Alright? So, and all these graveyards, when you visit them, you will see somebody who is in charge with a box where you have to donate money in order to get barakah for visiting this place. So, how can one person He has graveyards in all of these places. And these people are collecting money. And these people going there, they'll be rubbing their body on the tomb. They'll be talking, rubbing it on their body, saying that they want barakah from all these things. Alright? These things, if they believe that this grave has the ability to give them barakah, then they are committing clear for shirk. And if they believe that they are coming here, it means for them to get barakah from Allah, then they are doing something that can lead them to shirk. They will be committing minor shirk. So it is just those people that are doing these things are out to eat people's money. It says, وَأَمَّا مَا كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ يَفْعَلُونَهُ مِنَ التَّبَرُّكِ As for what the companions of the Prophet used to do in terms of seeking blessing, the شعر النبي, seeking blessing from the hair of the Prophet ﷺ. It was narrated that whenever the Prophet is combing his hair and hair drops from his body, the Sahaba used to rush to go and pick it up. Alright, they seek barakah from it. وَرِيقِهِ And also from his saliva. Okay? وَمَا أَنْفَصَلَ مِنْ جِسْمِهِ Or anything that drops down from his body. خَاسَةً كَمَا تَكَدَّمَ Especially as we just mentioned now. فَذَلِكَ خَاسٌ بِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم That is specific to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم alone. وَلَمْ يَكُنُ الصَّحَابَ يَتَبَرَّقُونَ بِحُجْرَتِهِ He said the companions did not used to go and seek barakah from the rooms, from the houses of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet had several houses close to the mosque, houses where he kept his wife. The companions did not used to go there to seek barakah from these houses. وَقَبْرِهِ or his graveyard, by the mosque here after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. His grave was there, they were all seeing it, but they did not used to go there to seek barakah from it. وَلَا كَانُوا يَفْسِدُونَ الْأَمَاكِنَ الَّتِي صَلَّى فِيهَا Neither were they intentionally going to places where the Prophet prayed in. Alright? Al-Jalasafiyah or places where the Prophet sat upon. لِيَتَبَرَّقُوا In order to seek blessings from these places. وَكَذَلِكَ مَقَامَاتِ الْأَوْلِيَا the likewise the graveyard of the awliya, our friends and allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Bab al-Awla. This place also do not deserve that people should go there to seek barakah. وَلَمْ يَكُونُوا يَتَبَرَّقُونَ بِالْأَشْخَاصِ الصَّالِحِينَ. The companions, we are not seeking blessings from righteous people among them. كَأَبِي بَكَرْ, like Abu Bakr, وَعُمَرْ, or Umar, وَغَيْرُهُمَا مِنْ أَفَاضِلِ الصَّحَابَةِ, and others among the virtuous companions of the Prophet. They were all there, and there were people who the Prophet ﷺ has said that these people are people who are admitted in paradise. Yet, the companions are not going to seek blessings from them. تِلَافِ الْحَيَاتِ وَلَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. They were not doing that when they were alive or even after their death. وَلَمْ يَكُونُوا يَذْهَبُونَ إِلَىٰ غَارِ حِرَىٰ. The companions wanted to go to Garu Hira, Cave Hira. You all know Cave Hira. That was where the Prophet was when Angel Jibril brought out revelation to him. The cave is still there. I have also visited that place before. Alright, it is there. Nobody used to go there to go and say he wants to go and look for barakah in that place. Even though it's a place that the Prophet was and Angel Jibril came to him in that place. Yet nobody goes there to seek barakah from that place. Okay, the place is there in Makkah up to today. They وَلَمْ يَكُونُوا يَذْهَبُونَ إِلَىٰ غَارُ شِرَىٰ. They did not used to go to the grave of the cave of Hira لِيُصَلُّوا in order to pray in it أو يدعو, or to go and do supplications in it. وَلَمْ يَكُونُوا يَذْهَبُونَ إِلَىٰ الطُّورِ الَّذِي قَلَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مُوسَىٰ. Also, they did not used to go to the Mount of Tur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Prophet Musa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لِيُصَلُّوا فِيهِ, in order for them to pray in it, where do all for them to go and supplicate in that place. أو إلى غير هذه الأمكنة من الجبال. Or they don't need to go to other places among mountains unless يقال إن فيها مقامات الأنبياء, where people used to claim that the graveyard of prophets are there, or غير whom, or the graveyard of other people. ولا إلى مشهد مبني على أثر النبي من الأنبياء. Likewise, they don't need to go to any shrine that is built upon any relic of a prophet among the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was not the practice of the companions of the prophet. And we're supposed to follow the steps, the two steps of the companions of the prophet. So going to this place to seek the blessing is not permissible in Islam. وَأَيْضًا فَإِنَّ الْمَكَانِ الَّذِي كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُصَلِّي فِيهِ بِالْمَدِينَةِ النَّبَوِيَّةِ. Also the place where the Prophet used to pray in Medina, دائماً, always. لَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ السَّلَفِ. Yes, Salimu. No one among the pious predecessors used to go there to touch it. Wala yukabilhu, or to go and kiss the place. Wala al-mawdi alladhi salla fihi bi Makkah wa ghayriha. Neither grace to go to the place where he prayed in Makkah or any other place. Fa idha kana al-mawdi alladhi kana yata'uhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi qadamayhi al-karimatayn. So if the place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to set his two honorable feet on, wa yusalli alayhi, and used to pray in it, لَنْ يُشْرَى لِعُمَّتِهِ أَتَمَصُّهُ بِهِ. It is not legislated for his ummah to go and be touching those places. وَلَا تَكْبِلِهِ, or to kiss those places. فَكَيْفَ بِمَا يُقَالُ إِنَّ غَيْرَهُ صَلَّى فِيهِ أَوْ نَامْ عَلَيْهِ. What more about what these people are saying, that another person apart from the Prophet prayed in a place or slept in a place, so they want to go there to go and kiss the place. So for تَكْبِلِ شَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَتَمَصُّهُ بِهِ. Kissing if something like that, or going to touch it, for the alim al-ulama bil-iftirar min din al-islam. Scholars of Islam already know by necessity that what? أَنَّ هَذَا لَيْسَ مِنْ شَرِعَتِهِ. They know that this is not part of the Sharia of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is it. That is the Islamic belief concerning going to places to touch them or to seek blessings from all those places. You know, I used to tell you, recently I was telling people, even in Makkah, when people go for Hajj, when people go to Arafah, you see people trying to climb Mount Arafah. Okay, they will climb on the mountain. There is a pillar that has been constructed on that mountain to indicate where the Prophet stood in that mountain. You see people going there, rubbing their hands on that pillar, rubbing it on their body. You see some people will go there with their Bible or with chalk. They will go and be writing their wishes on that pillar. Some will say, my name is so-so person, I came to her, so-so thing, God, give me so-so thing. Alright, they believe that by writing this on that pillar, God will answer their prayers, or God will give them whatever they want. And it's a very high mountain. In fact, in struggling to climb it, you see people falling, and you see breathing, injuring themselves. And all of these things is innovation in religion. When the Prophet performed Hajj, he stood there, what did he say? He said, وَقَفْتُ هَا هُنَا وَالْعَرَفَ كُلُّهَا مَوْتِي. He said, I stand here, I stood here, but the entire ground of Arafah is a place for standing. But there is no point for you to go and be troubling himself to climb the mountain to go and start exactly the place where the prophet stood. All of these, what is causing it is ignorance of the religion. All right, ignorance of the religion. Now, so number three, al-bid'ah fi majal al-ibadat wa taqarrub ila Allah. Innovation in the aspect of act of worship, wa taqarrub ila Allah, and seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The al-bid'ah allati ahdathat fi majal al-ibadat fi hadha al-zaman kathira. The innovations that were invented in the aspect of act of worship in this modern time are so many. Wal asr fi al-ibadat at-tawhid. Ordinarily, as far as ibadat is concerned, you are not supposed to do anything except with evidence. Say, فَلَا يُشْرَوْ شَيْءٍ مِنْهَا إِلَّا بِدَلِيلٍ. Nothing is legislated of an act of worship except by evidence. وَمَا لَمْ يَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ دَلِيلٌ فَهُوَ بِدَعٌ. And anything that is not indicated by an evidence, then it's an innovation. لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Because of the saying of the Prophet, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Because whoever does any act that is not part of this our affair, then it is rejected. So, وَالْعِبَادَاتُ الَّتِي تُمَارَسْ الْآنِ وَلَا دَلِيلَ عَلَيْهَا كَثِيرَةٌ جِدًّا. It says the ibadat, the acts of worship that are being practiced now and which have no any evidence, are so many. Minha, among them, الْجَهْرُ بِالنِّيَّةِ لِلصَّلَاةِ. Among them is people pronouncing their niyyah for prayer. Alright, when you see somebody will come and pray, somebody will stand and you raise his hand like this and you'll be nawaitu to kaza, 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 reciting so many things before he says Allahu Akbar. This kind of marriage, this kind of supplication is bid'ah. It's not part of what the Prophet taught his ummah. He said, بِأَنْ يَقُولُ نَوَيْتُ أَنْ أُصَلِّ لِلَّهِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Someone say, I intend to pray to Allah so, 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 and so. So, وَهَذِهِ بِدْعَةٌ. It is an innovation in the religion. لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ سُنَّةِ النَّبِي. Because it is not part of the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ. And also because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. Allah says, say, are you going to inform Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of your religion? وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. While Allah knows what is in the heavens and in the earth. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah knows everything. So, وَالنِّيَّةُ مَحَلُّهَا الْقَلْبُ. Intention is supposed to be taken by the heart. For here, عَمَلُ الْقَلْبِ. So, it is an act of the heart. La amadu bisail. It's not an act of the tongue. Alright? It is not an act of the tongue. That's why you see some small books that they are telling for people, niyyah for praying all the 5 daily prayers, niyyah for fasting, niyyah for taking ritual bath, go to Janaba, niyyah for going to Duma, niyyah for this, and you see they are selling it to people and people are buying. All these people are there to eat people's money. There is something like that. Niyyah is in the heart. When you stand before in the mosque to pray, you have made up your mind that you are coming to pray so prayer. So just stand and say Allahu Akbar. Then you come and start saying the way to what this and that. Okay? The only place in the Sharia where it is legitimate for you to pronounce niyyah is during Hajj, where a pilgrim is expected to say Labbaik Allahumma Hajjan. Or when it's performing Umrah, they are expected to say Labbaik Allahumma Umratan. This is the only place where you pronounce niyyah. Every other act of worship, niyyah is supposed to be done in the heart, not by saying anything on the tongue. Waminha. Also another example of modern day bid'ah in act of worship is what? Say al-zikru jama'i ba'da salah. Congregational zikr after salah. لِأَنَّ الْمَشْرُوعُ أَنَّ كُلَّ شَخْصٍ يَقُولُ الذِّكْرُ الْوَارِدُ مُنْفَرِدًا. Because what is legislated is that every individual will say the zikr alone, individually. Alright, in some mosques, just as Imam led us in prayer now, and when they say salam, you see them chorously. So they say Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, they'll be singing it, I'm singing the Azkar. Alright? Sometimes the Azkar they are saying is correct. Alright, but it's doing it chorously that is bid'ah. Alright, so everybody is supposed to do his own individually, not to be singing it in chorus. Okay, that is what the companions did during the time of the Prophet. He said, Wamina, also another example is Salah Qira'at al-Fatiha fil Munasabat. It's asking somebody to recite Qira'at al-Fatiha during occasion. Wa ba'da du'a, or after supplication. Wa lil amwat, or to recite it for the dead people. Okay? This is also not reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So wa minha, another example again is Iqamat al-Ma'asi al-Amwat. Establishing or organizing funeral celebration, funeral prayer for the dead. Was in a act of imam and also preparing food to share for people. Most ijar al-mukrihin are renting people that will come and recite either Quran or anything there. Yes, umuna anna zalika min babil azar. Those who are doing it, they are claiming that this is part of condolence. Aw anna zalika yanfa'ul mayt, or that will benefit the dead person. Wa kullu zalika bid'un. He said all of this is innovation. La asla laha, it has no any origin. It has no basis in the Sharia. Wa atharun wa aglal. They are all chains and shackles. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not revealed any authority for it. No, he's describing it as chains and shackles because people are so tied to it that whenever somebody dies, if they don't do it, as if they have not fulfilled the right for that person. Alright? And you see people organizing 3 days, 8 days, 40 days, how many days? All of these things have no basis in the Sharia. Alright? When somebody dies, you go to visit the person, the relics of the person, and greet them. Alright? Condolence is meant for you to encourage them to be patient. Alright, with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a decree. Okay? Either you meet the person in the mosque or anywhere, say salam to him and say that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the fortune to bear the loss and also supplicate for the dead person. But to gather people and prepare food. At times when somebody dies in some people's house, they begin to think of where to borrow money from. At times they begin to spend from the wealth left behind by the person if the person is rich. And this is haram. Because whatever a person left behind has become what? Has become his inheritance. It's supposed to be shared according to the Sharia. So you see people spending from the wealth of the deceased even before they share his inheritance. And they prepare food even more than some people who do wedding. Alright? And you see people, I used to give you an example. I've seen a place where somebody, I went to a house to greet the grief people. I was there, somebody dropped from his machine. Immediately he's dropping, he saw a small boy say, Come and collect my food for me. I've not eaten. Alright? I think it's food that brought him to that place. Because they see there plenty of food they are sharing for people. As soon as he arrived, even before going to greet them, he said, Come. Go inside and collect my own food for me. And he went and got the seat to sit down. This is wrong. Alright? In the Sharia, when somebody dies for you, it is your neighbor that will also prepare food and send to that house. That was what the Prophet commanded the companions when they killed Ja'far bin Abi Talib. Alright, he said, prepare food and send to the house of Ja'far bin Abi Talib because something severe has happened to them that will make them dizzy. Okay? So, but people today will go to the house and feed on the neck of those people. This is all not part of the teachings of Islam. So, وَمِنْهَا الْإِحْتِفَالُ بِالْمُنَاسَبَاتِ الدِّينِيَةِ. Among the innovation is what? الْإِحْتِفَالُ بِالْمُنَاسَبَاتِ الدِّينِيَةِ. Celebrating religious occasions. كَمُنَاسَبَاتِ الْإِسْرَى وَالْمِرَاجِ. Like celebrating the occasion of Isra wal Miraj, that is the journey of the Prophet to from Makkah to Beit Maqdis in Jerusalem and from there to the seventh heaven. Alright, so you see people today celebrating this occasion usually in the month of Sha'ban, especially in the middle of Sha'ban. Whereas if you go back to books of Sirah, you will see that scholars of Sirah, all of them, they differ on the actual time that the Prophet went for this journey. Alright, they differ. And of all the opinions, nobody even says it's in Sha'ban. That's really the funniest thing. Alright, you see some historians say it happened in the month of Ramadan. Some say it happened in the month of Dhul Hijjah. While others say it happened in the month of Muharram. But nobody even said Sha'ban. Yet you see when it is time for Sha'ban, you see people celebrating Isra wal Miraj. And you wonder where they got it from. And this is very clear. Open any book of Sirah, you will see there. Nobody mentioned Sha'ban there. Alright, so celebrating this thing is an act of innovation in the religion. وَمُنَاسَبَةِ الْهِجْرَةِ النَّبَوِيَةِ. People celebrating Hijra of the Prophet. Okay? Celebrating Hijra of the Prophet. This is also an innovation. Hijra is not an occasion to be celebrated. It's an occasion for people to reflect on what the companions went through in migrating from Mecca to Medina. They went through a lot. They were not allowed to leave with their property. Allah says, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Alright, they were expelled from Medina, from Mecca, they were not allowed to take any property. And that was how they all sacrificed because of Islam. We are supposed to reflect, what sacrifice are we doing now for Islam? And not that people should gather and the celebrating of the daily procession around the town. That is not what Hijra is meant to be. He said, وَهَذَا الْإِحْتِفَالُ بِتِلْكَ الْمُنَاسَبَاتِ لَا أَصْلَ لَهُ فِي الشَّرْعِ. This kind of celebration, because of this kind of occasion, they have no basis in the Sharia. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ. Also another example is what مَا يُفْعَلُ فِي شَهْرِ رَجَبْ. It's what is done during the month of Rajab. وما يفعل فيه من العبادات and what people do in it in terms of acts of worship as part of special acts of worship كالتفوض بالصلاة like special نوافل of صلاة وقيام فيه خاصة and also special fasting فإنه لا ميزة له على غير من الشهور so it has no any distinction over other months لا في قيام not in terms of fasting or صلاة or prayers والذبح للنسك or sacrifice فيه ولا غير ذلك or any act of worship. So specifying this month with special act of worship is also an act of innovation in the region. In some areas, they will tell you that the month of Rajab is the month of fasting of the old people. Have you heard something like that before? Yeah, they say it is the month of the fasting of the aged people. And you wonder, where did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal any verse to see that the, as for the old people, this is your own month of fasting. Yeah, something like that. But you see people saying this everywhere. It has no business in the Sharia. So, what means that? Also, among examples of innovation is al askar as sufiya, the anwa'iya. It is the askar of the Sufi by all its types. Kulluha bid'ahun wa muhdathat. All of it are innovations and inventions. لِأَنَّهَا مُخَالِفٌ لِلْأَذْكَارِ الْمَشْرُوعَ because it contradicts the أذكار that were legislated in the Sharia. بِفِيَدِهَا in the way, in the format that they form their own وَهَيْآتِهَا and the way they are doing it وَأَوْكَاتِهَا and the time they are specifying for it. Alright? So, all this kind of أذكار also contradicts the teaching of the Prophet. Okay, we read in this book before where the Prophet commanded the companions not to raise their voice in calling Allah. Alright, he said, you are not calling on the deaf person. Allah Muna is not deaf. Allah can hear you. Huh? So, by raising the voice or chanting it in Quran or calling Allah's name below, you know, that they have a type of zikr, especially on Friday. Alright, they will see that and they will shout it, Allah, Allah, Allah. Have you heard it before? You know, when somebody is shouting, Allah, 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 and he is doing zikr, he's not praising Allah. Do you understand? When you want to praise Allah, what do you say? Say, Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. You are praising. If you say, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, you have praised Allah. You say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no strength or might except Allah. You see, you are praising Allah. But when you now come and just say, Allah, Allah, Allah. What about Allah? Right? You see, you have not praised Allah. Just like I want to come and be shouting, Musa, Musa, Musa. What about Musa? Say, you understand? So it's all this type of things that the scholar is talking about, that it contradicts. There's nowhere where the Prophet taught his companions to do zikr to Allah by mentioning just Allah's name. Right? Some, they don't even mention Allah. It's who they mention. Not it's Allah who. Right? They just who, like that. Right? I have clips of these things. Right? I'll have shown you. You see people gather shouting, who. What is who? Alright? Like that. So it's this kind of things that contradict the teachings of the Prophet. Then what means that? Among that is what? Takhsis Laylat al-Nisf min Sha'ban li Qiyam. Also specifying the middle of Sha'ban with Qiyam al-Layl. Wa Yawm al-Nisf min Sha'ban li Qiyam. Or specifying the day of the middle of Sha'ban with fasting. فإنه لم يثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This was not established from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. في ذلك شيء خاص. Nothing was established from the Prophet concerning this. ومن ذلك also among that is البناء على القبور. Building upon graves. Okay. واتخاذها مساجد. And taking those graves as places of worship. وزيارتها لأجل التبرك بها. And visiting in order to seek blessing from it. والتوسل بالموتى. And seeking towards doing tawassul with the dead. وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأَغْرَادِ الشِّرْكِيَةِ and other purposes of shirk that people go to visit those graveyards for. وَزِيَاتُ النِّسَاءَ لَهَا and also the visit of women to this graveyard. مَعَ أَنَّ الرَّسُولُ لَعَنَ زُوَّارَاتُ الْقُبُورِ that's why the fact that the Prophet has caused women who frequently visit graveyards. وَالْمُتَّخِذِينَ عَلَيْهَا الْمَسَاجِدِ and those who take a place of worship upon the graveyard. Or surud, or those who light up these places of graveyard. Okay, all of these are all these kind of things are prohibited in the Sharia. Okay, wa khitam. In conclusion, naqulu. Okay, we say, innal bid'a baridul kufur. Innovation is a means to kufur.
وهي زيادة زيادة الدين لم يشرعه الله ولا رسوله. It is an addition in the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not legislated. Neither has his prophet legislated it. وَالْبِدَعَةُ شَرٌّ مِنَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ الْكَبِيرَةِ. Innovation is even more evil than major sins. وَالشَّيْطَانُ يَفْرَحُ بِهَا أَكْثَرْ مِمَّا يَفْرَحُ بِالْمَعَاصِي الْكَبِيرَةِ. The shaytan is to be happy with bid'ah even more than he is happy with people committing major sins. Why? لِأَنَّ الْعَاصِي يَفْعَلُ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. Because a person who commits sin, commits that sin, وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّهَا مَعْصِيَةِ. And he knows that he is committing sin. فَيَتُوبُ مِنْهَا. So he is likely to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمُبْتَدِعُ. But a person who does bid'ah, يَفْعَلُ الْبِدْعَةَ يَعْتَكِدُهَا دِينًا. He is doing bid'ah, he believes that he is actually doing the religion. يَتَقَرَّبُ بِهَا بِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He is even thinking that doing this act will bring him close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا يَتُوبُ مِنْهَا. So he is not likely to repent from such an act. Because as far as he is concerned, he is getting reward from this thing he is doing. Alright? So, وَالْبِدْعَةَ تَقْضِي عَلَى السُنَنِ. Bid'ah kills the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَتُكَرِّحْ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِهَا فِعْلَ السُنَنِ. And it makes the people who do it to hate doing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa ahli sunnah, and also make them to hate ahli sunnah, those who are following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَالْبِدْعَةُ تُبَاعِدْ عَنِ اللَّهِ. Bid'ah also distance people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُوجِبُ غَضَبِهِ. And it brings about the anger of Allah. وَعِقَابِهِ and his punishment. وَتُسَبِّبْ زَيْدِ الْقُلُوبِ. And it causes the heart to deviate. وَفَسَادِهَا. It also corrupts the heart. So that's why bid'ah in the religion is an evil that one should try as much as possible to avoid. One should practice this Islam according to the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Finally, it said, مَا يُعَامَلْ بِهِ الْمُتَّدِعِ. How should one relate with a person who practices bid'ah? It says, تَحْرُمُ زِيَارَةُ الْمُبْتَدِعِ. It is haram for you to visit somebody who practices bid'ah. Here he's talking about somebody who practices a kind of bid'ah that will take you out of Islam. Alright? Not the kind of bid'ah that does not take you out of Islam. One was the certain type of bid'ah, we mentioned types of bid'ah. Alright? There are bid'ah that are minor. Alright? And there are those that are major. Alright? So, those people that are practicing bid'ah that are major, that are, if you visit them, they can lead you to kufr. Alright, like somebody who claims that he has seen the Prophet. The Prophet has asked him to go and be supplicating for people. And he's using he says he's doing miracles. Because he saw Prophet alive. Alright, in this particular time. Because this kind of person is inviting people to, it's something that will take them out of Islam. Alright, so visiting this kind of people is haram. ومجالسته, also going to sit with this kind of people is haram. إلا على وجه النصيحة. Except if you want to go there to go and do nasiha to such people. إلا على وجه النصيحة له والإنكار عليه, or to refute what they are doing. لأن مخالطته تؤثر على مخالطه شرا. Because mixing up with such people will have negative or evil impact on the person that is going to mix up with him. وتنشر عداوتهم إلى غيره. And it will spread the enmity of that person to other people. وَيَجِبُ التَّحْذِيرُ مِنْهُمْ. And it is obligated to warn people against visiting such people, or to share him and to warn people against their evil. إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ الْأَخْذُ عَلَىٰ أَيْدِهِمْ. It is not possible to stop them completely from doing what they are doing. وَمَنْعِهِمْ مِنْ مُدَاوَرَةِ بِدْعَةٍ. And to prevent them from practicing bid'ah. وَإِلَّا فَإِنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَىٰ عُلَمَاءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. So otherwise, it is obligated upon the scholars of the Muslims, وَوُلَاةُ أُمُورِهِمْ, and their leaders, مَنْعُ الْبِدْعَةِ. It is obligated upon them to stop bid'ah. وَالْأَخْذُ عَلَىٰ أَيْدِ الْمُبْتَدِعَةِ, and to stop the people of bid'ah from practicing what they are doing. وَرَجِعِهِمْ أَنْ شَرِهِمْ, and to restrain them from their evil. لِأَنَّ خَطَرَهُمْ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ شَدِيدٌ. Because their danger upon Islam is very, very severe. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ يَجِبُ أَنْ يُعْلَمْ. He said, then it's also obligated for everybody to know. أَنَّ دُوَلُ الْكُفُرِ تُشَجِّعَ الْمُبْتَدِعَةِ. That countries of unbelievers, they encourage the people of bid'ah. على نشر بدعتهم, they encourage them to spread their bid'ah. وتساعدهم على ذلك, and they assist them in doing that, the shirk al-furuq, by different ways. لأن في ذلك القضاء على الإسلام, because that way they can kill Islam. وتشويه صورته, and also to dent the image of Islam. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينصر دينه في أقل أصبرات to assist his religion ويعلي كلمته and to make the كلمة الشهادة to be the to elevate it ويخذل أعداءه and to forsake his enemies وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين and that is the end of this book titled عقيدة التوحيد written by Sheikh Saleh bin Fawzan Abdullah Al-Fawzan We pray Almighty Allah will reward us for all that we have read in this book. And wherever we have made error, we pray Almighty Allah will forgive us for our errors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. And may Allah accept this from us as an act of worship. As Muslims, the issue of knowledge is very, very vital. All right? A Muslim should not practice his religion based on ignorance. Okay? The religion of Islam is the religion of knowledge. That's why, what was the first verse given to the Prophet Muhammad? He said what? Ikra, read. Okay, Allah commanded the Prophet to read. You get it? And Allah says in the Quran, what? إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ Those who fear Allah most among his servants are who? Are the knowledgeable ones. So you cannot practice Islam based on ignorance. Okay? Seek knowledge of Islam. Alhamdulillah, today we have so many literatures, alright, written in English language. If you cannot read Arabic code, you can buy English book and read. You have a lot of scholars, good scholars that are preaching on Kitab, on TV, buy their CDs and listen. Alright? If you can afford, get your book and visit any scholar in your area and seek knowledge. Even if it's once in a week, create time to attend lessons like this in the mosque or to visit the Imam in his house, for example, or any other scholar to learn. Okay? A Muslim is always seeking for knowledge. Alright? A Muslim is always seeking for knowledge. Seeking for knowledge is from the day you are born till the day you die. Okay, so one should not take seek knowledge for granted. Okay, as a Muslim, try to know about Islam. Okay, first, alu ahla zikri in kuntum la ta'lamu. Allah say, ask. Right, if you don't know, ask. So, Jal Mashallah will increase us in knowledge, and may Allah make it easy for us to seek the knowledge of Islam. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. If there are questions, I will answer before we pray, inshallah. Any question? Alhamdulillah. What? No. What he's talking about is the practice where people gather, all right, to recite Fatiha for the dead. He mentioned the dead people there. Or you see they are reciting Fatiha to seek Baraka. Otherwise, it is permissible in the Sharia.
For example, you can do
Rukiya for that person, reciting Fatiha upon that person to use that person. We mentioned it when we're discussing Rukiya al-Shari'iyya. Right? You can even recite Fatiha in water and drink, or give somebody to drink. Do you understand? That is not haram in the Sharia. But this practice where people gather to pray for the dead and they say somebody should recite Fatiha in Nazar now, Salat in Fatiha or whatever. It is this kind of practice that the Sheikh is talking about. Now, as for the second question about whoever insults the Prophet. Whoever insults the Prophet, his ruling is that he should be killed. Alright, that is the ruling in the Sharia. Whoever insults the Prophet, he should be killed. Where scholars differ is whether if he repents, his repentance should be accepted and should be forgiven or not. That's where you have some sort of belief. If the person regrets what he has done, claims ignorance, for example, a new convert or somebody who is living a faith that has never heard anything about Islam before, all right, he claims ignorance, or he even says that he knows but he's sorry, all right, he does tawbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is where some scholars of the opinion that his tawbah can be pardoned and be let, while others of the opinion that no, he should be. To be killed, all right, but ordinarily, whoever insults the Prophet, he should be killed. That is the ruling of virtually all the scholars of Islam. There are some few scholars that try to say that if you insult the Prophet, the ruling is not killing the person. These people, their evidences are very weak, all right. Their major evidence is the fact that when the Prophet was in Mecca, the Quraysh used to insult him, they called him a madman, they called him a magician, they called him so many names, and we read it in the Quran, isn't it? What do you say in the Quran? أَإِنَّنَا لَتَارِكُ آلِهَتْنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ Alright, they say he's a poet in Mecca. And yet the Prophet did not ask anybody to go and kill anybody in Mecca. But the question we should ask ourselves, when the Prophet was in Mecca, who was he? Does he have power to implement this thing? He was someone that was even running for his own life. In Mecca, he was passing by, his companions had been tortured and he couldn't do anything about it. Negative. So it is not possible for him to give such a ruling while during the Meccan period, all right? During the Meccan period. But after he migrated to Medina, all right, there were cases where some people saw the Prophet and some companions immediately killed them, all right? And the Prophet approved their action, all right? There was a case of a particular poet that was captured after a particular battle. Other captives in that battle, the Prophet accepted ransom. He allowed their people to come and pay ransom to free them. But this particular captive that was required, that was always insulting the Prophet, that he should be killed. All right? Why? Because of his poem, because of his attack on the Prophet. So that's why the ruling in Islam is that the person should be killed. Okay, next question. Yeah. Well, only for that now. I mean, I like to know all of us. I'll think about it, inshallah. Now, another question. Now, I'll look it out. Miracles. You see, miracles in the Sharia, all right? Miracles, the Sharia recognizes miracles, all right? Prophets perform miracles during their time, all right? Many prophets, not just Prophet Muhammad, many prophets perform miracles, all right? Jesus Christ, for example, all right? He used to heal the blind, all right? And heal the leper during his time. In fact, a person died, I asked the person to rise up, and the person rose up, all right? It was possible. Prophet Saleh, his people asked him to do miracles for them. He commanded a mountain to bring out a camel. And a camel walked out of the mountain. And people were looking at it. Did you understand? It used to happen. All right, Prophet Musa also performed miracles. Prophet Muhammad also performed miracles. Miracles are things that Allah Prophet gives his prophet in order to further confirm the truth of their message. All right? Now, after the prophet, okay, righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also can make some miraculous things to happen through them. Alright? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make some miraculous things to happen through them. But you know, the difference is this. These righteous servants, they themselves don't used to know that this thing will happen. You know what I'm saying? They supplicate to Allah. Alright? They supplicate to Allah, and from their supplication, Allah forces some miraculous things to happen. You understand? But they don't need to come and be boasting. I'm going to perform this miracle, all right? They already know that this is what I'm going to do. And they claim that they have some special powers or some special prayer that they do. You understand? Righteous servants of Allah do not do this, all right? Because they themselves, they know that these miracles are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't even know when it will come. They only supplicate to Allah, and Allah can make it to happen. What if somebody bragging that he has spiritual power, all right, that he can cause something supernatural to happen, then you know that this person is not a righteous person. This person, kind of mostly are working with the deen. Right? They are working with the deen. Somebody will tell you that I've heard somebody who says that I pray 5 daily prayers in Mecca. You know, even if you have debt, it's not possible to go to Mecca 5 times in a day. Right? But they'll tell you that we go there, we pray 5 times in a day. And it's possible, if you call somebody in Mecca, say, I saw him, he's there. It's possible. These people are using deen, but we know that the deen can travel far distances within a very short period. Prophet Suleiman used to use deen, all right? The deen used to travel within a very short period. So we know that these people are using deen, all right? But we do not completely reject the existence of miraculous events, all right? We know that righteous servants of Allah can supplicate to Allah, and Allah will cause righteous things to happen through them. It's possible like that, inshallah. No. No.
Different side. They have changed their Qibla. Why is it not praying? Okay, if the imam says Allah Akbar, he will shout Allah Akbar. So he told him just to be pray Allah for people. I pray Allah for him, he's not praying. Don't make the point. Your first question, what is your question again? Okay, now, when people go to the Juma, alright, ordinarily, one is to try as much as possible to join the room, the staff. Alright, you are supposed to try as much as possible to join the staff. It's not a problem even if the staff extends to far away from the mosque, so long as it extends to those places. Alright, so long as it extends to those places. But for someone to leave his house, come close to a mosque, and the staff does not extend to his place, alright, it just depends on the loudspeaker and say he's going to create his own staff there and say this is wrong. Alright, this is completely wrong. But if the road extends, no matter how far, so long as the road in the mosque extends to those places, then it is not a problem. But if there is a block and there is a blockage, the road is cut off, you are far away from where the roads are, you pray alone there, or you form their own road there, this is completely wrong. What they are doing is wrong. They are supposed to try as much as possible to come close to the mosque, join the roads extending from the mosque. Alright, join the roads extending from the mosque. And for those that were praying that they changed their Qibla, if they have completely turned away from the Qibla, then they have no prayer. Because facing the Qibla is a rukun, it's a pillar in prayer. You understand? So if they have turned away completely from the Qibla, then they have no prayer. But if they were a little bit skewed, all right, but not completely turned away, okay, then it is still okay. So long as they are still facing the side of the Qibla, even though they are a little bit skewed. The first that Zain al-Mashriqain al-Qibla, all right, the Qibla is very wide. All right, so even if it's just a little bit skewed, no problem. But completely turned away, then there's no prayer. As for this man, all right, what he's doing is wrong, all right, because he's supposed to pray. Salat al-Juma is obligatory upon everybody. In that he has no any excuse not to pray and say he wants to be echoing Azan to the people. There's nothing wrong in him raising his voice if the Azan, if the voice of the Imam or the Muadhin is not reaching the people. But let him also be in the prayer. Right? So if he hears Allah Akbar, someone should raise his voice to say Allah Akbar, all that that are far away to hear. It's not haram. Right? If there is necessity for that. But for him to stand separately and be watching people while they are praying and he is not praying, this is completely haram. It's obligatory upon him to pray. Alright, Salat al-Juma is obligatory upon everybody. Allah Allah. Yes, this one scholars give them fatwa that they are doing it's darura, it's necessity that has caused that. Alright, if there are no such security, some terrible things will have happened to innocent life. Alright, so they are there to protect life. They are there to protect, just the way the Prophet in that situation during war, alright, he divides his companions into two. Some are praying with him, others are keeping guard. Alright, a lot of people go to Saudi Arabia with evil intentions. Alright, if they don't keep vigilance like that, some terrible things will happen. Right? Some terrible, that's why. So those security men will always stand to protect people. Let them pray. After prayer, they will also go. They are not all of them. Some are divided, some pray with the Jama'ah, while others keep guard. After the prayer, those ones that keep guard will now go to take the place of this one to also form their own staff and pray. Right? So it is Darura that has made them to do like that.
Yeah.
Now, you see, not all those who do wazifa are out of Islam. Alright? Like I said, there are people who do wazifa just because they keep a zikir. You understand? Okay, I used to be a Sufi man before. Alright? And I do wazifa regularly. And when I was doing it, I never had any belief that it has any, anything. All I thought was it's just zikir. Alright? I'm doing zikir and I'm getting all that. So, if the bid'ah of a person is not mukassira, it's not the bid'ah that takes someone out of Islam, you can still pray behind that person. Do you understand? For the imam to believe that the prophet used to come and attend that place, it doesn't take him out of Islam. His belief is wrong, right? Because the prophet will not come. He's just deceiving himself. The prophet is in his grave. He's dead in pain. He doesn't appear to come and sit on any white clothes. How many white clothes in the world will he sit on? He has, and it's just one person. It's not possible. So all these kind of beliefs are just a waste of time, you get it? But it doesn't take, if this is jumping, okay, it doesn't take somebody out of Islam. What is wrong is when someone begins to believe in some things that are very, very dangerous. Right? Like when somebody believes that if he recites the Latin Fatih, it's 6,000 times better than the Quran. Yeah, I don't know how we can regard somebody as a Muslim and he believes that the sin of another person is greater than the sin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. You understand? Not all of them have this belief. Some of them don't even know that this is written in their book. You get it? When I was doing it, I didn't even know that there's something like that written in the book. But it's there. It's there in the book called Jawahir al-Ma'ani. Right? It's there. Right? That whoever does the last one time is 6,000 chapters that are recited in the Quran. So if a person has this kind of belief, it's this kind of belief that are so extreme, it is not advisable to pray with such people. Alright? But if just ordinary wazifa or normal zikir, if there is Ahli Sunnah mosque, that will go. But if there is no one can see the change, there is no problem, inshallah. May Allah guide all of us alright. May Allah guide all of us alright. Is that all? Wassalamu alaikum. Last question. You are
just coming to
No, you pray for Raka. You pray for Raka. Even if people are in congregation, at times you see some people, they come in congregation, in group. As they are coming to the Jumat, the Imam is saying Salam. They form their own congregation and say they also pray for Raka. This is wrong. Alright? Why? Why is it wrong? Because they have no khutbah. Alright? Khutbah is a pillar as far as Jumat is concerned. So when those people form their own congregation, they are not going to do khutbah. And so since they cannot do khutbah, they have no jumat. They can come together in congregation and pray zuhur, but not jumat. Alright? So the khutbah of jumat prayer is a rukun, it's a pillar in the prayer. Alright? And that's why it's not permissible. But the khutbah of eid is not a pillar. You get it? And that's why if you miss eid, for example, you come already to eid, the imam of eid don't allow. People can gather and pray another eid. It's allowed. Right, because the khutbah of the eid is not a pillar, and that's why it is done after the prayer. But the khutbah of Juma is a pillar in the prayer, and that's why it is done before the prayer. It's a condition among the people before the prayer can be done. You get it? So if a group of two miss eid, they can come together and pray eid. They will do the same 7 takbir in the first rakah and 6 takbir in the second rakah. The way you perform it is allowed. But Juma, once you miss it, you have to pray zuhr prayer, not 2 rakah. May Allah give us knowledge. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.